Alrighty, well, let's go to 2 Corinthians tonight, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I put down verse 7, but let's just start in verse 1 and let's read down through verse 7. Verse 7 is really what we're going to talk about tonight, but we need the context, so. Everybody there?
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, little g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's one of those verses that you got to back up and read again and again, and a little at a time, just kind of drink it in a little at a time till you get it, what he said there, so much that he said. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Yeah, he kind of made us humble by putting all of that in a vessel of earthen vessel. That's all we are, really. I mean, that's what we're looking at. We fix our hair, and I mean, we pretty things up as much as we can, but when you get all dried down to it, we're just nothing but a little bit of dirt and some water. That's about all, that's it.
Yes.
Earthen vessel. Easily broken, easily defiled. But anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Please bless it to our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, to listen. I know probably everybody's a little bit tired. I pray that you'd help us and strengthen us and quicken us in our minds and hearts tonight, that we'd listen and get this in Jesus' name. Help us. Amen. Well, the things that we're charged with as Christians to promote and represent, God calls it treasure. This treasure, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, a lot of people talk about the body and how worthless it is and all that. Well, okay. But it's what's in the body is what's important, see. God calls it treasure. We have this treasure. Well, the context. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We talk about how we're to be like Jesus and we're to let Jesus' light shine in us. Well, that's what it's all about, see? He commanded the light to shine out of darkness and shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. See? We may not be too pretty to look at, but it's what's in here that counts.
Yes, sir.
It's what is in here. I mean, really, you don't judge people by whether they're attractive or not, do you?
No.
I mean, you don't judge them by the outward appearance in that respect. I'm not talking about how we ought to dress and how we ought not to be worldly and immodest and all of that. I'm talking about just what kind of impression we make on people. You know, the worldly way is if you're pretty or you're attractive or if you're appealing in your appearance that way, then you're worth more than everybody else. Well, no, that's not the way it is. No, sir. Now, I've known a lot of people that didn't have nothing going for them on the outward, crippled. like Brother Mike down there, you know. I mean, he's really messed up physically. But it's what comes out of his mouth from his heart. That's what makes,
right.
I mean, you can see the treasure.
Sure.
You can see it.
Yes, sir.
We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God don't choose many of the wise. If you notice that, the Bible tells us that. Mm-hmm. Not many wise, not many, of the high class of the earth. God don't do that. He picks from the other crop. Why? So that we don't glory.
Yes,
that we don't steal the glory from Him.
Right.
You know, how could a person claim to be a Christian and esteem anything more important than the things of God? You know, what do you have in your vessel here tonight? Think about it. Your thoughts, your affections and affinities, you know, the things of this world that you cherish. What do you got? What do you got in there? Inside of your vessel here. What are you carrying around with you? What do other people see in you? You know, it's not the vessel, it's what's in it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, you get a drink that's in a bottle or something, like a soda pop, if you drink any of that stuff. You want what's inside it. You don't want that old bottle. Well, you do that old bottle when you get done with it. Yep. The can. The wrapper. You get rid of it. You want what's inside it. How could you get caught up in the cares of this world and put the focus of your life on temporal things that you're definitely going to lose sooner or later? I mean, the rich man who tore down his barns to build bigger barns, you know.
Right.
That's where Jesus said this. Well, I'm going to read in Matthew, not Luke, but in that account. But he said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Well, that's a question that the answer is obvious. What are you going to give? What is there in this world if you added it all together that's worth a soul? That's worth your soul? No, you know, the Bible talks about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, and I've quoted this verse quite a lot here in preaching about the spiritual warfare and everything, but he says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God," which he just mentioned here, "and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." When God saves you, your vessel becomes a vessel unto honor, see?
Yes.
And these things that defile the temple, the vessel, they have to go. And they do go because this is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How many people do you know that describes? Huh? Well, now that's kind of shameful, if you ask me. Because that's just a statement of fact in the Bible of what New Testament Bible-believing Christianity is like. And yet, we look around us and say, where's it at? Something wrong there. Nothing else can compare with the value of eternal spiritual things. Knowledge, it answers the questions and the doubts that most people live and die with. Life, no one knows what it is to really live until they know God who gives life and who created them and all things. I've said it so many times, but you know, I don't even count my life before I was, it just seems to me like my life started when I got saved.
Yes, sir.
I remember before, but it's like it was something else. My life began when I began to know God.
Amen.
And I was born again. Understanding, being able to look at all circumstances in view of the whole scheme of things. Listen to me. And not being overcome by trouble and tragedy or by prosperity or by peace or poverty or any of the other things. Looking at every circumstance, that's understanding, is when you look at everything in view of the whole picture instead of just right now. Boy, this is bad right now. What terrible luck I have. Yeah. I don't know how to hammer that just a little more. Understanding is being able to look at every circumstance in view of the whole.
Yes.
Beginning to end. Eternity instead of just in this little box that we live in the world. And time and all of that. Hope is having a bright future no matter what the present outlook is.
Right.
You know, the funeral yesterday, somebody mentioned the verse, but it's like this. We don't sorrow as those that have no hope, as others who have no hope.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not of those of the world who are without God and without hope in this world.
Right.
We got hope.
Yes, sir.
And it ain't something we're just wishing for. It's not that. It's just that we just have a sure... the kind of hope we have is not just a wishful thinking. Well, I sure hope it turns out like that. No, we know how it's going to turn out. I mentioned this to you before, but like in Spanish, the word for hope and the word for wait is the same word. It's the same word. You can't make a difference in it. I mean, it's hoping is waiting. So, how can anyone think that riches or things of this world are worth spending your life for? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, and it's not money and lands and things of this world. That's not your treasure.
That's right.
If it is, boy, it's a poor investment on your part.
That's right.
You're going to lose it. Do you realize that? Mm-hmm. You're going to lose all. Better lay up your treasures in heaven, not on earth. Better set your affections on things above. Not on things below.
That's right.
There's no greater treasure to be had than to have peace in your mind and satisfaction in your soul. Met people through the years that I count as treasures.
Yes,
because of what they've got in their vessel. Mm-hmm. The treasures that they have in their vessel. And it's not something that they have to keep for themselves, neither for you. I don't have what treasure I have in my vessel. Not for me. It's to be shared.
Yes, sir. That's true.
And it's like the five loaves and two fishes. It goes way farther than you think.
That's right.
I thought about that at the funeral yesterday. I told her coming home. You know, Brother Kenny was so overwhelmed with everybody. And he told me, he said, it's embarrassing to me because everybody drove so far and everybody just giving and... You know, don't think you're anything. Don't think you've ever mounted anything. Don't think you've ever done anything. And I told her, well, those five loaves and two fishes went a lot farther than you thought they would.
Yes, that's true.
Little is much when God is in it. We sang that song. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. No one will find this in the world except the... You know, the short-lived and temporary spurts of peace I'm talking about. Peace of mind and satisfaction. You watch people of the world. We experience it ourselves trying, you know, in the past. I mean, I've given up on this world, let me tell you.
Amen.
I ain't looking for happiness there. Not putting my treasures there. But I watch other people who still keep trying to do it. And they can be happy for a week. If they could be there, they'd be happy. If they could have this, they'd be happy. If they could buy that, if they just had this much money, if they just had that kind of job, or they'd be happy. But it never lasts, does it? No, no, no. Nothing of this world will satisfy you. It's temporary. Temporal. It doesn't last. When you leave God out and go about to make your own way, you'll find it full of mountains and valleys. Oh, my. But true salvation is a permanent fix for the soul. And that's part of the reason it's such a treasure. Well, I wish I could make it more clear what I want to get across to you tonight. But you meet people along the way that have treasure. Treasure's unseen. We sing a song like that every year. All that you see, you know, is not what you see.
Yeah.
I have treasures unseen.
Yes.
I see a lot of people don't have any. They just don't have any. They got a life. They work and they live and they just struggle and they toil and they're just not happy. Never at peace in their mind. Never satisfied. And somehow they think they've attained. Somehow they still think in that kind of a state that they've still attained the knowledge of God. They think that this verse 6 here applies to them when there's no evidence whatsoever. For God, who's commanded the light to shine out darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If that has ever happened to you, you're gonna be a different creature. You're going to have things in here that satisfy you. Mm-hmm. The dissatisfaction will stop.
Yes, sir.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
You're not going to be searching and longing and always trying something else. You're not going to be one of those people. You're going to be one of those who have found what you were looking for.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You have that's the treasure that we have in earthen vessels. It just doesn't fit in this world. See? In this world of flesh and bone and sin and all of this, a person who lives in a body of flesh who has real peace and satisfaction and understanding, they just don't fit in this world. Nope. Stranger and a pilgrim passing through. Now that's the way it is.
That's right.
You can't hash it out no other way. There ain't no room for any other kind of salvation. When Jesus saves you, you're done with this world. If you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you. I mean, I didn't have any trouble falling out of love with the world when the Lord became what my life was about. It doesn't compare at all. All their new stuff, all their shiny stuff, all their riches and everything that goes along with this world just doesn't appeal to me very much because it's not going to last.
Right. Yes, sir.
Well, this earthen vessel is completely insufficient and unable to accomplish the work of God. He did all this so that the power, the excellency of the power, may be of God and not of us. This earthly vessel, what can you do with it as far as accomplishing the work of God? Oh, you can run a bus route. You can visit people. You can do all kinds of things, but is that really the work of God? No, not really. In and of ourselves, we have not the power or ability to affect any of the manifestations of God's power here on earth. Been around it so much through the years, and I've heard people talk about wanting the power of God on them and all of this. Well, what for? Why do you want power? Bible never talks about us having power. It's God who has the power. We're just the vessels that maybe He can use once in a while. But that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. You ever see any spiritual hero? I don't like that kind of stuff. I don't agree with that kind of stuff. I don't believe they're spiritual heroes. I believe God does it all.
Amen.
That don't leave us off the hook. I mean, that don't mean that we're not supposed to do anything. We're supposed to be available. My vessel is supposed to be available for God. My mind, my mouth, my heart, my body, my hands, my feet,
yes,
they're to be available. Just like the funeral deal we was just talking about.
Yes.
God gives you a chance. Be available.
Yes, sir.
But it's God who does the work. We can't enlighten a soul. I've been at this long enough to figure that out. I've talked to a lot of people. I've tried to win a lot of people. I've reasoned with a lot of people. I've gave people a lot of scripture and wrote stuff and everything else. And I don't know if it ever did anything for anybody. If it did, God did it. It wasn't me. You get somebody that's not, that doesn't have God living in them, they're not going to receive the things of the Spirit of God. The Bible says they can't do that. So, me, I'm going to try to give it to them anyway, huh? I'm going to try to make them understand. We're not going to get anybody saved by reason or by putting knowledge in them that they don't have. God chose the foolishness of preaching. Well, there's got to be a vessel to do that.
Right.
Preaching don't just happen unless there's somebody to do it.
That's right.
But whoever does the preaching has to be yielded to God. And here's what I've said to you so many times, you know, I've preached a lot of times and thought, what a dud. That was terrible. Wish I'd never been there. And then somebody come along and say, you know, boy, that really spoke to my heart. Really. Other times I've thought, man, that was a good one there, I'll tell you what. And nobody got a thing out of it. See, if God don't do it, then it's all vain.
Right.
All is vain except the Spirit of the Holy One come down.
Yes.
It's God that gives the increase. We can't deliver a person from their sin and its devastation in their life, much as we want to. We look at them and we pity them and we have compassion on them, but what can we do? Besides, I'm sorry. You know, I'd sure like to help you. Won't you look to God? Yeah, we can do all that, but if there's anything going to happen there, God's going to have to speak to their heart. It's not. It's more than just reasoning, and it's more than just human talk or human emotion. God's got to be involved in it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Pretty lowly. Pretty lowly. You know, Mary talked about her vile estate. That meant low. Low estate. She said low estate. If you look up the words, it's the same as vile in other places. It's low. Said, thou worm, Jacob. Well, that's putting you pretty low, ain't it? We all look at ourselves and say, psh, I look good. But we really don't look so good. For the person who cares, that's something that's very perplexing. To know that you can't do much. One of the most frustrating things that I've had in my life is not being able to do something to change this thing. Change this person's attitude or view of things. Why can't I change it? Why can't I just tell them how it is and they listen to me and then understand? Do you ever wonder why people just don't understand? You ever get frustrated because you're so helpless in trying to deal with people and help people, and you see that it's just like watching a train wreck and you know what's happening and you can't do anything? That's the way it is with us. We spend a lot of our mental strength trying to figure a way to be effective and make a difference. I have. I've done that all my Christian life, trying to figure, you know, how in the world can I do better at this? How can I make a difference? If we, you know, but if you don't struggle with that, it's because you don't care.
Yeah.
And if you don't care, it's most likely because you have no treasure in your earthen vessel.
Mm-hmm.
If you got treasure, you'll want to share it. Like the lepers outside of the city that night, you know, when they went out. You remember how they went out and the enemy had all scattered and gone and left their tents and everything. And they found all that bounty, and the city had been besieged, and they were starving to death, and these lepers went out and found that. They said, we do not well. So they went back in the city and told them. Well, they wasn't supposed to be in the city. Lepers. All of our perplexing is of no avail unless we come to the realization that we can't do anything except yield our vessel to God and make ourselves available, lock, stock, and barrel. We used to say that a lot. Don't hear that much anymore. But and be led by His Spirit. Give up your right to yourself completely and belong to God. God's instructions are clear, though, that we're to preach the gospel to every creature. That's what He said, isn't it? We're to live a holy life. Not a life of simply obeying rules, but a life which manifests the life and the Spirit of Christ in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. For who? You? Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. What's that talking about? Your holiness? Well, there's two ways to look at it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I mean, if there's no holiness about us, there's nobody going to see the Lord in us.
Yep.
That is right. God's instructions are clear. And it's not by effort on our part, but by yielding to Christ and allowing Him to have His way with us. You know, this is a hard thing to get folks to understand unless they have a little bit of understanding to start with. You gotta yield yourself to God. But that don't mean that we just sit back and become spectators and watch what God does.
Right.
I mean, we have to be involved and we have to put something to it at the same time.
Yes.
We don't just sit around and do nothing. I mean, if we never talk to anybody, and if we never visit anybody, and if we never do anything to reach out, mm-hmm. How's God going to use our vessel? Let your light shine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Yep.
We're the clay. He's the potter. We're the vessel, and He must have the right to do with us as He sees fit. A candle in its service burns up.
Yes,
it's spent.
Yes, sir.
Paul said, most gladly will I be spent. You know, that's what he talked about. For you. You know, most people think of Christian life and service as us building up this legacy or something, or making a name for ourselves. That's what they did at the Tower of Babel. They were going to make a name, and God stopped them. He does the same thing now. You know, well, that's not what it's about. It's about being used up, spent. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, and it's to be spent. If God wants, you ever wonder about people? You know, I mentioned here a while back. You remember the John and Betty Stamm? Isn't that right?
Yes.
They went to China. They prepared for years. Went to China. Were there about 2 months or so, and they both got killed. Lots of the martyrs and stuff, and other missionaries I've heard about, read about. They, you know, did years in preparation and all of that, and then they were cut short. David Brainerd didn't really amount to much as far as his work that he did and his efforts and all of that. But have you ever read the story about the little book that Jonathan Edwards was going to be his father-in-law? And Jonathan Edwards took his diaries and wrote this little book out of it. And it got to England and it fell into the hands of some people over, and I didn't prepare to tell this story, but anyway, that's how the whole missions movement started out of England, and all that little book went from here to here to here. You see, it started with a man who... I've read a lot of missionary stories like that, where missionaries went somewhere and they just thought it was a total loss and a failure and left and went home defeated. Never knew what seeds they planted.
Yeah, it's true.
You remember the one in Africa where the missionary went there 100 years after this guy had been there. And this guy had been a doctor, and he went over there, and it was just a wipeout. He went back home, give up, just went back to being a doctor. And the missionary went 100 years later and found churches there where he had been. And when he got, and as far as he knew, there had never been a missionary there. But when he lived there a while and he got this asking and finding out their history and everything, it was that doctor who planted the seeds there. and left the Word of God there. And God raised up some churches. Well, we don't like that stuff, do we? When we don't get some credit for it, right? Can you do that? I mean, can you swallow that? That you give your life and sacrifice all for something and nobody ever know that you had anything to do with it when it amounts to something. Can you take that? Well, that's just how God does things. Now, there'll be a reward. God will, it's like I read to you there in Revelation this morning about when God takes the reins and takes His power.
Yes, sir.
To reward the saints and to punish the wicked. Then people like Him will get exactly, I mean, it's all going to, that's why Jesus said that many are first shall be last. And many of the last shall be first. It's just not going to, it's going to be revealed there, and it's not going to look anything like what we saw here that we thought. And the reason is the scripture we're reading here. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Well, I decided a long time ago that's fine with me. It's a rare thing in Christianity nowadays for it to be that way with people. I mean, it's hard to find somebody that's okay with that. Because most people desire the praise of men more than the praise of God, really. Well, let me hurry up here. What God uses, He sanctifies or sets apart. If we're truly yielded to God, we'll be set apart from this world. And not only that, but we'll be set apart from most professing Christians. That doesn't mean that we'll be isolated from the world. That's two different words. To be set apart is not to be isolated. But to be set apart and sanctified is to be different than them. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And we can't be that being isolated. Jesus was not isolated from the world. But He didn't become a part of it. He didn't participate with them. He didn't join them. They did not influence Him. The salt, the light, we're put here to influence the world, not to be influenced by them. Our interaction with the world is necessary for there to be an opportunity for them to see Christ in us. You remember that song years ago them girls sang about how can we reach a world we never touch? In fact, we're honest and trustworthy and patient and kind and benevolent. Their attention will be arrested, especially in such a world as we live in now. So it's like you was talking and said about people come by your house and they're fascinated with the way you live and your life. And we all find that the same way. I'm sure you all find that if anybody comes around your place and sees how you're living and the family, all you got to have is just a family.
Yeah,
it looks like boys and girls and looks like a regular, it gets the attention everywhere you go. We found that all through our life. You just go to the store with your family and everybody's attention is on you because that's an unusual thing now.
Yes, absolutely.
And the fact is, everybody knows that's right.
Yes.
Everybody has a desire in them to live like that.
Yes, sir.
But they've blown it with their sin. And when they see it, they realize the value of it, the treasure. And that's where we play a part in this. That's our testimony for Christ. It isn't us going around just buttonholing everybody up against a wall and trying to get them saved right on the spot. No. They want to see something real. And they want to see results. They won't listen to anything else. is what God affects in our lives. If He has really commanded the light to shine out of the darkness into our hearts, to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, it's going to show out of our vessel to everybody else. They're going to see it. You won't have to preach to them about it. You won't have to force them to listen to your words. I found that that's just not the way it is. Amen. If we're to be used of God, it's necessary that we contrast with the world, not conform to the world. In all things. You hear me? In all things. This is more than just dressing right and staying out of worldly places and all of that. There's more to it than that. We're the light of the world. Doesn't mean that we'll be isolated from other professing Christians either.
Yeah.
Don't mean you just separate from church and say, I don't go to no church. All they have is a bunch of hypocrites there, and I don't need the church, and I can do fine without it. I can worship God down on the river. No. Set apart from other Christians doesn't mean isolated from other Christians.
Mm-hmm.
The true children of God are the light of the world, among both the ungodly and those who sit in churches.
Yes.
The people who sit in churches who do not have understanding and who do not have light, the people who do are a testimony to them.
Yes.
That's right.
The people who have had the biggest influence in my life to live to God and godliness and holiness. You know where I met them?
In
church. I didn't meet them down on the street somewhere and just bump into them accidentally. I found them in church.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Where did I find that light? In church, around other Christians.
Okay.
Who were among other people who didn't act like Christians.
Yeah.
And who didn't have light.
Yes,
so the true children of God are the light of the world. In the church and out of the church.
Yes, sir.
Everywhere. So that's why that it's nonsense for somebody to claim that they're a Christian, but they won't have anything to do with church. Amen. That's really working in me. But whatever is accomplished that is truly authentic will be the work of God and not the work of the flesh. The vessel. It's not going to be these hands that do it. It's not going to be my intellect that does it. Or my knowledge of the Bible that does it. God's got to do it. But they've got to see that God's done something in me. I've got to have some treasure before I can give anybody anything. Before I can help anybody to find God and the treasure, they've got to see it in me.
Yes, sir. That's true.
And you the same way. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The work of God must be obviously a supernatural work. Or it's of no lasting effect on other people. Do you know how much the world laughs at the churches and the foolishness that goes on with their mock miracles and all of the other things they do that they say is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the church? Look at what everybody's doing. Acting like fools and animals and all kinds of they blame stuff on the Holy Spirit that He didn't have anything to do with, and the world laughs. They say, what a bunch of crazy nuts.
Yep.
They won't laugh though at things like we experienced yesterday. That's what I said up there. You know, we don't need to see miracles and wonders to believe in God.
No.
All we need is what we've seen and felt right here today to know there's a God in heaven.
Yes, amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yesterday, what you seen was exactly what I'm talking about here. Treasures in earthen vessels.
Yep.
Amen.
A lot of people, I'm sure, did not understand.
No.
I pity them.
Yes,
a lot of people that don't understand anything, still they saw something there that maybe they will get a little thirsty. Maybe it'll provoke them to start thinking and searching for God. This ain't a lottery. Anybody can be saved. Anybody can have that if they want it.
That's right.
All right, works accomplished by the strength of the flesh and the power of human intellect will only cause people to worship those who accomplish these works. That's just the way it works.
Yeah.
Build a great work. Well, some man gets all the credit and all the glory. It's my opinion that God didn't have anything to do with that. God is so wonderful that He can even save some people in a deal like that. God don't, He doesn't just cancel everything out because of that. You know, something wrong with it. If there's still people there seeking, God will save some people even in that. Yeah, He will. You see that in the Bible, in the New Testament, everywhere. There was always a few. A lot of them said, ah, he's a blasphemer. Ah, he's crazy. But some believed. There were always some. And that's the way this works too. You know, works accomplished by the strength of the flesh and the power of human intellect will only cause people to worship those people who did those works. And divine works will cause people to worship God. You hear me? A work of God will cause people to look to God. A work of man will cause people to look to a man.
That's right.
And worship a man.
Yes.
Our responsibility is to be what we're supposed to be before God and represent Him properly before men.
Yes.
The results are not our responsibility. As long as our hearts are right and our lives are in order before God, it's God who gives the increase. We're just responsible to represent. We're ambassadors for Christ, and so we're to represent Him properly,
yes, sir,
accurately, not be a lie about God with our mouth or with our life. That's why it's so wrong for people to claim to be born again and a Christian and live after this world.
Yes, sir.
It's blasphemous to God. It's a misrepresentation of God. What are you talking about? Well, most Christians claim to be sinners, practicing sinners. And well, what does that say about Jesus? What has He done for you? Mercy. Let's represent Him accurately. It's God that gives increase, and God does so. He does do divine works using earthen vessels. Not because those earthen vessels are special or smarter or better than others, but because of what is in those earthen vessels. You hear me?
Yes.
God does use earthen vessels.
Right.
But He uses them to do divine works, but He uses them for what's in them. We have this treasure. That's the object we're looking at here. And while we can't credit any person with the divine work that's been done in our soul, we got to acknowledge that there was a certain earthen vessel involved in that work. You do. I mean, there was somebody or somebodies that had a part in every one of us here. If you're saved tonight, there was an earthen vessel involved somewhere.
Yes, sir.
And it wasn't them, it's what they had inside. They had a different attitude, didn't they, than most everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
They had a different, they put a different value on you than most other people did, didn't they?
Yep.
I hope you're understanding this. We can't. A careless sinner is awakened when he catches a glimpse of that heavenly treasure that God keeps. Remember that, in earthen vessels here in this world. Everybody that departs this life, that has treasures, that God has put treasures in, we feel a loss, don't we? But did you know that the treasures that God puts in these vessels, earthen vessels, they remain.
Yes.
The things they said to you, the things they gave you from them, from their heart and their soul, you keep them.
Yes, sir.
They don't go with them. They stay here with you. Am I talking a different language than what y'all understand in here? Things that made a difference in my life, great difference, were said by some people who are long gone. But I still got their words. I can still hear them saying. I can just replay it. I got it.
Yep.
They had it, and they gave it to me, and now I got it too.
That's right.
See, that's how it works. We have this treasure. And the more you give, the more you get.
Yep.
The more you have. You don't lose, you don't diminish what you have by giving it to somebody else. That's the way it is with God's things. God's not diminished when He gives us something. No matter what it is. It's like the cruise of oil that never went.
Never ran out.
No, it's just endless supply.
Amen.
Well, I hope you'll get a little bit out of that. What do you got in your vessel tonight? Is God using you for a vessel that He's putting treasures in? Think about it. What comes out of you? What do other people get from you? Think. Judge yourself tonight. People you work with, your family. You know, is there a river of life, living water, flowing out of you? What's coming out of you? Trouble. I know people that are just a trouble spring. That's all they are. You get around them and it's just like, oh my. They just spill trouble all over you. You walk away from them and you're troubled. I know other people that are refreshing.
Yes.
Like Paul said about Onesiphorus, you know, he oft refreshed me. What do you think he's talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had something. He gave it to him.
Yes, sir.
Often. You know people like that, don't you? When you run into them, you always go away feeling better. Can't really put your finger on it a lot of times. You don't understand. But there's something in that vessel, see. God calls treasure.
That's right.
Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth we've talked about here tonight. I know it's a little bit hard for some folks to get understand what I'm saying here, and I mumble around, but pray you'd speak to hearts and help us to all be that vessel that we talked about here tonight and we read about in your Word, that we'd be a refreshment to others. And everywhere we go, we'd leave something that's a good fragrance and not a stench. Lord, help us to represent you right. You deserve much, so much more than we're able to do. But Lord, the least we can do is just be truthful and honest about you with other people. And Lord, love other people, love our neighbor, like you commanded us to, like you did. And Lord, help us to understand this tonight. Take it with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. You ought to be a preacher. You ought to try it sometime. Yeah. I think it'd be good if everybody could just feel what it's like to try to help people and tell them. And it seems like it does so little good. For the effort that's put into it, and for all the price that's paid to have something to give, and then so little visible results. You have to get to the point where you just say, Lord, it's in your hands.
Yes.
And you just preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. And you do what God's commanded you to do, and you give what God's given you to give, and leave the rest of it with God.
Yes, sir.
If I feel like it's my responsibility to effect a change in everybody, man, I'm going to be a frustrated guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I found that out with my own children. As well as everybody else. You can't control other people. And you can't do much at all to change anything about them. Is what, like Finney said so many times, I've told you so many times, example is the strongest influence. My walk will talk much louder than my talks. And you never know who's watching and who's listening.
Yes.
I've got more emails and letters or things this week. And quite a difference in how people take what you say.
Yes.
And